Welcome to another edition of the Tech Teachers. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, and I teach Spanish.
And we are first-year teachers, and this show focuses on technology and education and sometimes where they overlap.
Our blog is thetechteachers.blogspot.com, which is where we put all of our show notes, any links to the things that we talk about.
And the email is rayandholly@gmail.com, Holly spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. We'd love to get feedback. So if you have any suggestions or comments, feel free to email us. Or you can also leave comments on the blog.
Oh, and also we have a Frapper map. You can get to it either through frapper.com/techteachers or on our blog. And we have a lot of people that have joined even
almost
recently.
Almost 100 people, I think. Yeah. We're approaching 100 people
so cool.
That have put the little push pins on.
Right. Yep. So it just shows us where you listen from in the world. So kind of cool.
We also have a PayPal donate button, which goes directly to us and will only be used for equipment, eventually wireless mics. Do you think that's the first thing?
I think so. Yeah.
For our next video, before we do our next video special, I think we should probably get some wireless mics.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, speaking of the video special, the PC, what do we call it? I don't know, what do we call it?
Building a PC?
Well, whatever we called it.
With Ray.
Yes. It's still not on iTunes or in the Vidcast RSS feed. I'm still having sync issues. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But if you would like to watch it, the Windows Media Format, it's a pretty big file. I think it's like 300 megs, but it's nice high quality. And there are no sync issues. And you can get that at our blog.
Okay.
All right. And we've already got some feedback on it. People seem to like it and said it was a good use of video.
Well, that's positive.
Yes. Like the five people that probably watched it. Should we tell about what we just finished watching?
Yes, we watched hours and hours of The Masters on TV, which actually I did enjoy. In high def, yes.
See? And Phil Mickelson won.
Ray believes he looks exactly like
no,
Phil Mickelson.
No, I do not. People have told me I look like Phil Mickelson.
You do?
I did. I was a fan of Phil way before anybody told me that I looked like him.
You do bear a striking
I liked him back when he was
just
coming out on the tour, so... Before anybody else even really knew him or would say I look like him.
You look like Phil.
Yes, I do. Especially certain facial expressions.
I just think it's funny.
Anyway.
But that was good.
He won.
Yes. Uh-huh. Very fun. Well, I guess my computer is still broken and in the shop.
You look lost over there with that laptop.
Well, I'm using a pizza box, really, with notes written on it about what we're going to talk about.
Sorry, state of affairs.
Yes. Anyway, so should we talk about our site of the night, which you just showed me?
Yes, I just checked it out, finally. I don't know if I saw this on Dig or one of the tech shows, but portableplaylist.com. Real simple to sign up, and it's pretty neat, actually. I can search for music or podcasts and stream them without downloading anything to my computer.
So you can just search for any song really in the world, and then
it might find it. It might not. I don't know quite where they're pulling all the database from, but it looks like it's getting some MP3s. People put MP3s up on blogs.
Okay.
So some of it's coming from there. The podcasts are obviously coming from podcast directories. But we were on there.
Yay.
So you could listen to us at work.
But see, is that legal? I don't.
Well, listening to podcasts certainly is.
Right.
Because we do Creative Commons so people can do this kind of stuff.
But the music
content.
Part of this portable
However,
playlist.
If you do like this and you start listening to us on here, we need to reinstate the Apple in the quarters, don't we?
What?
The interruption. The Apple's in
the
quarters.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
I think I just interrupted. But if you start listening to this, please stay subscribed to iTunes because that's how we get our numbers. I don't know how this works for affecting our numbers.
Right.
Because if it doesn't go through, or stay subscribed to us through some RSS feed or through some RSS aggregator thing.
So we can tell how many people listen.
Yeah, because I don't know if this will show up or not as an individual number, or it might inflate our numbers because it might be coming from, if you have like, I don't know. I have no idea how this will impact.
Back to my question though, is this a legal thing for music?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Probably not if it's copyrighted music that someone put up on their blog.
Okay.
It's probably gray area. Are you going to get in trouble? No way. No way. Because you're not downloading to your machine. You're streaming.
So you're not trying to own the music.
Yeah, you're not trying to own the music. So you're not going to.
You're just
no
kind of listening. Almost like you turned on the radio.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So I'll say if you're listening to copyrighted music, you probably is somehow illegal because you don't own it or whatever. But until they get shut down.
Well, it's a cool concept. I just wanted to know if it was legit or legal, I guess, really.
Well, the most popular music and podcasts look like they're all legitimate stuff. So it's not like we're getting, so their top stuff that people are listening to are mainly podcasts.
Okay.
So it looks like it's generally a legitimate site.
Right.
You know, now whether or not the RIAA is going to come after them, if they get popular enough, who knows?
Okay.
But I haven't seen any copyrighted music that I know for sure that's copyrighted. I've seen some live show stuff, but I didn't search for like something that I knew was copyrighted.
Okay.
So, but yep, there's another way to get music and podcasts without having to put anything on a computer.
All right.
What's up next?
Well, in technology, we wanted to talk about both Bootstrap and some new functions we found out about in Orb.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then in education later on, we're going to talk about the four-day school week and how some
and
school districts are going to alternative scheduling. And
okay.
So that's what we'll talk about in education.
All right. So the big news, and this has been widely reported on like all the tech shows. I mean, if you do a tech podcast or a tech show, you talked about it sometime. And that's Mac or Apple announcing their support for Windows XP essentially on their systems. So now it is no longer just the follow all these crazy instructions, but there is support through Bootstrap, which you can go, and I think it's technically in beta, but from what I've seen, I haven't done this, obviously. I don't have an access to a Mac anymore, but from what all the tech shows are saying, that this is no big deal. It works really well.
So you, on your Mac, you can boot Windows.
Yes. Now you're going to have a copy of Windows XP, so you have to go out and spend $100 on Windows XP, but if I had a Mac, I would definitely be dual booting.
Okay.
That's, in fact, the next computer. If this had happened a couple weeks sooner, I might have considered going with a Mac, but probably not because I built it kind of for gaming. But
well, do you really want to do that early on? I mean, I kind of think that this is going to mess up some systems, or I don't
know. No, no. I mean, there's not a whole lot of driver support yet, but they've shown many, many examples of it booting into XP. I've seen it. I've seen it on computers, you know, on the tech shows. It's a good idea. And a lot of people ask why. Well, if you only got, 5% market share or whatever in your Apple, if you can convince even the people that are, you know, really geeky like me that have to have XP for a variety of programs or games or just don't want to leave but want to dabble in other operating systems besides Linux, well, this is still based off of, what's it based off of? Debian or FreeBSD or BSD? I don't remember what it's based off of, but it's kind of a derivative of Linux. We'll probably get emails about why that's wrong. But anyway, I mean, it'll eventually attract me. I will buy a Mac. Might just be a Mac Mini, but they're going to get at least one more customer in me. And I think that's true of a lot of people. A lot of people could care less. But if you even take that 5% to 10%, if you can get enough people out in front, more people adopting Macs, well, then they tell if they truly have the superior hardware and the better support and the better operating system, all that, if you get people to try it, that's the best way to spread the word to the average person. And I think it's a good move, I think.
It sounds like a great idea. I'm just saying I don't want to be an early adopter on this.
But you still, it's not like it's going to mess up the hardware. I mean, you can still fall back and you have your Mac operating system.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know enough to be able to clean that up.
And we should also say that this is for the Intel-based Macs, not the older Macs. Okay, right. So this is for, you're buying a new Mac.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my mom's Mac will not do this.
Okay.
It's not an Intel-based Mac.
She was going to try that until you said.
Yeah, right. And the other very exciting thing, I think, is my next laptop. Right now, I've got a Dell. I like it. But my next laptop, now it's pretty much guaranteed to either be an IBM ThinkPad. Well, I shouldn't say IBM anymore. Lenovo ThinkPad or one of the Mac notebooks. Mm-hmm. It's almost undoubtedly going to be one of those two because now I can run Windows XP on either one.
Okay.
So if you are a Mac user and you have an Intel-based Mac, now you can run Windows. And you're probably thinking, why do I want to? Well, I'll give you one really good reason. Orb.
Okay.
Transition.
Yes.
Orb.com or myorb.com if you're logging in. Oh, my goodness.
Which
it's
we've
amazing.
Talked about before.
This, which I've talked about before, but no. Oh, so much better than I realized.
We just grazed the surface there.
Oh. Mm-hmm. This is the dream. If they keep developing this, I would pay $15, $20 a month to use this service. It is that good. I mean, it is amazing. So
let's talk about the extra features that we found this week.
So we know we can have music folders shared and stream them to any computer or PDA or even your cell phone if you want to listen to your MP3s wherever you are in the world.
From your own computer.
From your own computer. Yeah, tag your computer on to any computer or internet-enabled device.
Right.
Well, not only can you do that, we've mentioned that it could work with TV tuner cards, but it's amazing. You can change the channel and watch high-def content on any computer. Mm-hmm. So I can change the digital stations from a laptop in another state on my home computer and watch on the laptop my home TV.
Okay,
and
so
it's easy.
The tuner card in your computer is picking up the TV signal and then
my local TV signal.
Your local TV signal. And then Orb is streaming that to any computer.
And I can change the channel. Okay. And I can schedule recordings. And
Remotely,
I can schedule recordings.
Right.
And it's got some TiVo-like functionality where you can say, keep until I manually delete or keep until I need space. Record this show every time, every occurrence, or only on this station. It has all that built-in programming and the programming guide. Unbelievable.
That's really cool.
We have left. Mm-hmm. I'm using this completely now for my TV recording.
The software that came with the DivCo thing.
Or mm-hmm. better than... not as many features as something like SnapStream or Windows Media Center, but because you can access it remotely and because it's so stable, it's just a dream. It's a dream. It has mm-hmm. not even stuttered yet. The only bad thing is that you can't compress the files, so you have to have a big hard drive to do this for high def. So it's the dream. It's you're in a hotel room somewhere, and you've got your laptop hooked up to the internet at that hotel room, and you can watch your local TV. Now, I'm not a big local sports fan of Kansas City, but I can imagine if I was a big Chiefs fan or if I had my home computer in somewhere where I could pick up Giant games or someday when I get satellite again and pump the satellite into your computer, that means you could watch your football games wherever you were at.
That's pretty cool. Or your
local sports teams.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And beyond that, just getting, I went to Canada. I went to Toronto. I could have got all my normal stuff up there too.
Right.
And being able to schedule record remotely is really nice. It's really nice. So it means if I forget to record something, and as long as I have internet-enabled device, it could be my cell phone. This has, mm-hmm. I can schedule something to record.
The other thing, though, is these little webcams that I'm not so happy about.
Oh, before we move on, we should say that all this is very, very simple. It mm-hmm. didn't take any tweaking of the card. It just recognized the card, and it just did everything automatically. Like, it was just as simple as click the record button, and something was recording.
So you don't have to have a lot of knowledge.
Expertise, none.
In
zero. Okay. Much more expertise to get something working right, like SnapStream, mm-hmm. which is probably one of the leaders, or a Myth TV, or one of those other, even Windows Media Center edition would be more complicated than this. This is about as simple as it gets,
but
still powerful.
Right.
And no, we don't get any money from Orb.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like a spokesman.
Right.
It's a great, great site. Eventually, they're going to have to charge for it. It just does too much.
Yeah.
I just hope it stays, kind of cheap, like maybe in the $5 a month range. What do you think? Would it be worth $5 a month?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it'd be worth $5. Probably if you get above 10, I'd probably start to be like, I don't know. Give me some more functions, but I hope they mm-hmm. keep developing it. I'd be willing to pay for it if they keep adding features. So the other feature, yeah, go ahead.
Well, apparently you can turn on webcams remotely and look at your house or your apartment over the webcams on any computer.
And record. And schedule record times.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do all the time shifting you do with TV, except you can do it with your webcam. So I could be at school and I could have the webcam pointed out, or not necessarily at school. I could be wherever, not at home, and have the webcam pointed out on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
Activate the, log into Orb, which is real simple. Just, password, username, and turn the webcam on and see what's going on outside my apartment. And then if I wanted to, I can hit record. Or if I wanted to, I could say, okay, record from 6 to 8 tonight, and it'll record from 6 to 8, and it'll be on my home computer. Now, you don't like this because you're afraid I'm going to record the living room.
Well, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
You'll be sitting here watching TV, I'll be recording you or something. I don't know.
No, just that there's cameras. I mean, I guess it really has not much to do with Orb, although you can turn them on remotely or whatever.
Oh, maybe we should let the listeners know you have this password and username as well.
Yes.
We share the Orb account. I'm not like
I know. It just feels
Orb.
Weird that there are cameras out, and they're pointed. And
I've used net cams before for net meeting, like with my mom, mm-hmm. video conferencing stuff. And, the only thing that worries me about this is that they are connected up and they can be turned on remotely. So conceivably, if somebody got a hold of your Orb password, they could activate your camera and look in. So right now, you can tell the listeners at home where the camera's pointed.
The ceiling.
Yes, just in case, but I'm paranoid. The odds of that happening are probably about 1 in a billion. Right. But just in case somebody out there really, 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 you know, knows well, see, me well and can figure out our password or something.
You're paranoid. And so, but I don't know, maybe I'm more paranoid. I just am like...
Eventually, they're going to stick out the window. I'm a bit of a weather buff. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably put them out the window and just have them record, you know, during daylight hours.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, I can, because you can scan through the video and just, you know, especially if there's anything interesting weather-wise going on.
Yeah.
So that's probably what eventually I'll do is have, at least I have two. And that's the other nice thing. It can handle, and I tested this out today. I recorded, I did scheduled recordings for two net cams, scheduled recordings. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, record at this time for an hour on both of them. And then I did recording of, you know, I did some scheduled recordings of some TV programs. I don't remember what. And it was doing all three simultaneously, no problems.
Right.
Came over to my PC, had all the video files. They were all there. They were huge, of course. You're probably not going to do this if you don't have like a, well, the webcams aren't as big, but the TV recording, you're going to at least a couple like 200 gig hard drive, which yeah. is cheap now. You get a 300 gig hard drive for $100 on Newegg. So, but, you know, throw a 300 gig drive in there and plenty of space. So. But yeah, it all worked flawlessly, and I came over. I was still able to surf the web. It wasn't bogging down my system. In fact, it was using less system resources to do this recording than the software that came with it, and less system resources than something like SnapStream, which we should tell everybody what SnapStream is. Do you want to explain it? We talked about it. Want me to explain it? Okay. It's just like it's like a the software part of TiVo or any device except on your computer. Real nice looking, right? You mm-hmm. saw it. It's pretty, right?
Right.
Yeah. So powerful stuff.
But back to the webcams, I think that'd be good as like a nanny cam or, you know, a camera when your maintenance man comes in, like you
yes.
mentioned.
I think we'll do that. We have a lot of expensive electronic equipment. I'm always wondering if they're coming in and, oh, look at that. Sit down and play something.
I don't think they do that.
They're probably
they're
too
really
busy,
nice.
Right? Probably
yeah.
way too busy.
Busy, nice people.
Yeah, probably not. You're so. Probably right.
I don't think so.
Well, but as a security thing, too. It could be a security camera.
Right.
You put this outside. I mean, and now the one limitation is we're not talking about wireless cameras. You can't, you know, stick one of these, you know, 50 feet away from your computer. These are USB cams. I don't know if it works with the wireless cams or not. There are, if you really want a true security solution, there's all sorts of packages out there for $400 or $500 you can get set up with cameras all over the place. But this is on the cheap. Orb is free.
Right.
You've already got a PC if you're listening to us. And a USB cam, you can get used USB cams probably for like $5 on eBay. And then all you need is a long USB cable. And you know, 15-foot USB cable, and you can have a camera, you know, within 15 feet of your PC, pointed whatever direction you want.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you really wanted to, you could get, you know, USB booster and send a longer cable to somewhere else. But
yeah,
you don't want cables running all over the place. But I don't know how many cameras it'll support. I have a third USB camera. These are all old USB cameras. I can plug a third one in and see if it'll support three, but I don't think I need that. I think two's more than enough. One in the living room, one out the window.
Yeah, that's plenty.
When we're not here. When we're not here, the living room one.
Yes.
Yes. Holly is not sold on this idea.
No, not
At
quite.
At least, is the one out the window okay?
That's fine.
Okay. I'm definitely going to do the one out the window.
But if I ever see that camera turned around and pointed away from the window, I will freak out.
One of them's really low resolution. One of them's like 100 by something. It's like worse than most cell phone cameras.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's bad because it's like from the, you know, early
Well, then what's
90s.
The point of even having it then?
Well, the other one's not fairly decent resolution.
Okay.
I don't know. It's good enough to see a person walking by in it.
Can't tell who the person is.
Well, you yeah,
man
you
or
probably
woman?
Could if they got close enough.
Child.
If you got enough
dog.
Light.
Yeah.
I mean, there's software out there too that'll do this kind of thing. But I'd messed around with it, like motion activated software,
mm-hmm.
and it just didn't. I don't know. It didn't. None of it was real easy. It was a bit of a pain in the butt. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, there are a lot more features to Orb that we didn't talk about before. So
yeah,
people
still
should.
Discovering stuff.
Yeah.
This is about as excited I've been for a website, like useful, like that's going to change the way I do things in a long, long time.
Yeah, you were jumping up and down and
when I saw how easy it was and it
giggling.
Just worked. It just worked right away. I wasn't giggling, but I was happy. No, I was like, yes, this solves like eight problems at once. How many times does something come along that fixes like I don't have to pay for SnapStream.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to fiddle anymore with the stupid DVI Co software. It's just something that works, and I can schedule my recordings from anywhere. It's great. You forget to record your favorite show. Now, obviously, you're going to schedule. You're going to get like season passes to stuff like Lost and what else do we watch? ER,
West Wing,
Scrubs, those kind of stuff. You just push the button once and you get a season pass just like in TiVo.
Right.
But for other stuff, especially sporting events or you know, there's something on PBS, a Nova special I want to see, something like that. You don't remember and you just, there you go. Click record from anywhere. You don't have to get, you know, if I got the laptop in the other room or I'm over at the apartment complex thing, I can just record from there. I don't have to come home. Yes,
so you
do
love it. Okay.
And I know anyway. TiVo, network TiVos, and there's other ways to do this, but this is free. This is free and simple, and it works. Oh, anyway. All right. And I can still listen to all my music and all my photos anywhere I am.
Singing the praises.
It's a change. It changes the way I'm going to do me. It changes the way I'm going to handle media. All right.
I hope somebody out there is excited about this.
I wonder
this,
if anyone's still listening to the show at this point.
I thought about giving you the wrap-up signal about 7 minutes ago.
Sorry. We can cut it down. Well, we won't cut it down. We almost never edit our
We
stuff.
Really don't.
No. All right. So should we move into education then?
I think it's about time.
Okay. So what's our education topic?
Well, actually, I just read an article about some non-traditional scheduling of school years. And one of the interesting things was that there are 10 states in the United States that do this. They have 4-day school weeks.
Sounds good
and
to me.
And the school day is a little bit longer, but they only go 4 days a week, and they have a 3-day weekend. Woohoo!
Oh, it's longer.
So, and actually, a third of Colorado schools do this, which was surprising to me. That's a lot for one state, you know.
See, for me, before we get all into this, what I'd really like to see is either a shorter school day and go year-round, or same length, but four-day weeks. I don't know that I like the whole longer thing. I don't get enough sleep as it is.
But see, it was kind of weird because they said it was longer, but it was only an 8-hour day, whereas now I know the kids are there 7 hours a day. But I guess in this scheduling scheme, then they would only be there, or they would be there 8 hours a day. That's only 1 hour extra.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, that would be a long day, but
yeah,
for teaching, you know,
yeah.
I think. But still, it'd be kind of nice. But what they've seen, studies have shown, though, that there's better attendance by the students.
Mm-hmm.
And
less days to miss.
The grades are about the same, you know, except for even the middle schoolers.
But now their grades are the same, but what about the amount of material that they're getting through?
That's a good point. I don't know. But the middle schoolers, though, their grades were better. Their test scores were better on this new scheduling.
My guess on that would probably be because the teachers are more refreshed after 3-day weekend.
Yes, teacher morale was also shown to be higher.
Yeah, so if the teacher morale is higher, I would think the quality of instruction would generally go up.
Definitely.
Because if your employees are happy, they're more productive. Or if your employees are well-rested, they're certainly more productive. But the longer day would probably bum someone like me out.
Well, but
I mean, when the tennis is going on, I was putting in 15-hour days. Put another hour on that? Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I can see that point. But at the same time, having all day Friday as your administrative work, or you're planning ahead, or you're, you know, making copies or whatever you need to do, that'd be nice. Because, man, you do a lot of work outside of school.
Yeah. I wonder if any teachers out there are in that right
now. Yeah,
that'd be interesting. Email us and let us know what you think of it. Or if you're in somewhere where they go year-round, which is what I would love to do, is make the week shorter and send us year-round. Or make the day shorter and send us year-round.
Oh, no. I like the traditional.
Well, with breaks, like a college-like system where you make the, you know, you have a longer winter break, basically. Mm-hmm. You give everybody like, you know, a good 3 weeks off or whatever. Instead of, you know, 1 week Christmas, 1 week spring break, give 3 weeks in the winter, 3 weeks in the summer somewhere, and then 3 weeks spring. You know,
the ones I've seen have been 3 months on, 1 month off. 3 months on, 1 month off.
Yeah, that would be that. That would be all right. Well, I would rather have, you know, a 4-day week and then make that month a little shorter.
Okay.
Because I think one of the biggest thing the teachers fight is the burnout. Like
absolutely.
Like right now we're in our stretch. Now I'm not burnout. I don't think right now, but. Well, right now we're in our stretch of school where we have like 5-day weeks for the longest period of the school year. And you can tell just walking around the building, people are starting to get, you
kids
know,
and teachers.
Yes, both.
But
both.
Especially the teachers. I absolutely agree. But you know what, though? I'm really looking forward to my summer break.
Yeah.
I'm not going to teach summer school because I need that break. I really do, you know, because it's been my first year. It has been a year. You know, I mean, it's been very hectic.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to have a 2-month break.
May 8th.
May 8th is not when your school ends. You keep saying that.
May 8th. That's when my AP kids take their test.
And then
before the test, I work a Saturday to Sunday, 12 to 5, to get them ready. Review sessions. But then May 8th, they take it. Once they take it, oh my.
Come on
it's
now.
Like, I'll continue to teach. We're not going to watch. We got a couple students keep saying, oh, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'm like, that has nothing to do with physics. We're still going to do stuff and watch stuff that's related to physics. We're not just going to party every day, you know. But as far as the core curriculum goes, after that, it's enrichment, basically. I mean, it's what interests you in physics? We're going to learn about something, but only, you know, we're not going to be guided anymore by AP curriculum.
Right.
You know, we're not going to do XYZ and XY and, you know, X number of days. So
I don't know. This whole thing kind of bothers me, though, because we're doing MAP testing, which is our state standardized testing, the next 2 weeks.
Oh, that's next week for me as well.
And but then after
Except
that,
for the seniors.
After that, I really do get the feeling that teachers kind of quit really teaching.
I mean, I'm not gonna quit.
What I hear, I don't know. I mean, we have a full, you know, month, 5 weeks, even, you know, 4 or 5 weeks left to teach. I just think that's horrible.
It's burnout at the end of the year.
To the test and then, oh, everybody party for a month. I don't know. I mean, hey, I love to party, but...
That sends the wrong message, I think, too, a little
bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But, I mean, but the other thing with me, too, is that the seniors leave not long after. That's their last week after they get on their AP testing. So my classes are decimated. I lose half my class in each class. So I even have less students. So it'd be kind of weird for me to keep going with the normal thing when I've only got three people sitting in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need to be as formal. We don't need to, not that I'm already a lot less formal with my AP kids, but you know, this class structure is going to be completely different. So,
right.
You know, I'll do what they want within the limits of physics. No Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I refuse to show something that has nothing to do with physics.
Yeah.
Or to even, you know, I mean, we'll probably get off topic more often, but a little bit, but they're going to learn stuff. They're going to learn more in my class than they are in other classes that have the same situation. I guarantee it.
Yes.
I will not allow them to just coast. Mm-hmm. So some of them think that's what might happen, but they don't, they're misjudging. Because I said it'll be fun, but maybe it'll just be fun for me. Because I'll do lots of demos, have them do demos.
Right.
Fun stuff. I've already got some books for it. So
we got a little off topic there. four-day school weeks. That's what
4 day school weeks. So do you think you'd like it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think it would improve your teaching?
Absolutely, because I'm constantly thinking, man, that weekend was real short.
Short,
but
yeah.
I don't know.
I'll say I used to work 5 on, 3 off. Mm-hmm. So my weekends were always rotating, but I always had 3 day weekends. 3 day weekends are nice because now 3 day weekends, if you take one more day off, you've got 4 days. You can go a lot of places in 4 days. Now I was down in Houston, but you can travel on those. On those 3 or 4 days, or let's say you have a holiday that bumps into a 3 day weekend, 4 days off for just, you know, one holiday.
Right.
I mean, it's nice. It is nice.
I just think that there are some weeks where I have been dragging. I've been tired and stressed.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just, but it hasn't been that.
It's your first year of teaching. It's both our first years teaching. So.
Right. I don't know that it would drastically improve my teaching, but it would improve my mental health, I think.
Well,
you know, and the attrition rate for first-year teachers and new teachers is pretty high. So.
I'm trying to make sure I don't burn out. I'm trying to pace myself. Sometimes I find myself putting in too much time.
Right.
It's like, okay, set it down. Get away from it. Just take a night and do whatever the heck you feel like so that you recharge the batteries so that in class the next day you're not like, oh, you know, half asleep, which is always bad. I walk around a lot to combat that and drink 2 liters of soda, so I'm on caffeine. But I think, what about, we're talking about scheduling and like what the best schedule is. What about moving the school day up? Like just move it later in the day.
Oh, that would be so much better for high schoolers.
I agree.
I think.
I agree.
Because, well, I have a
hard
time. It
would cause a mess with sports. And I think
that is the only argument that I think.
Is the reason why. Because kids don't want to get up in the morning for morning practices. I think that's probably why. Because if you move the school day 2 hours later, guess what? You're bumping up against sunset, depending on the time of the year and the sport for outdoor activities. But I say, the heck with that. The academics should come first. Mm-hmm. Move the school day up 2 hours. Let the kids get their sleep. And test scores will go up. I mean, all school districts are motivated a lot by test scores and – attendance. What would be the easiest way to boost both those numbers? Later school day.
Right. But sports are a big part of high school life.
Yes, that's
so
true. I guess actually it may not be said, but sports probably is stressed right there along with those other two things.
Absolutely stressed just as much as academics.
Yeah, just not
totally
as vocally
that.
Probably to the teachers because,
right.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. But if you want to improve test scores and you want to improve attendance, I think a real simple solution in most, for high school anyway, just bump it up even an hour. I think you'd see a change. I think if you looked at average kids' scores in like first block or the first hour of the day versus their other classes, I wonder if on average the kids didn't do poorer in their first block class. I know in college I never got a B if it was afternoon class, ever. If it was, I mean, literally afternoon, like we're talking, right. The class starts at 1 o'clock. So if it was a 1 o'clock or later class, I don't think I ever got a B. It was either A minus, maybe B plus. But classes I took at 8 o'clock in the morning, I was lucky if I was there once a week. You know, if it was 3 weeks, three times a week, once a week was a miracle at 8 o'clock in the morning when I was in college. So now if I had to be there, I mean, I was there, but very rarely was attendance mandatory, at Penn State. So big classes. What do you think? You better teach your second block than you are first, or first, second hour?
Absolutely.
First?
I'm far less grouchy. <'Cause>, no, I act. You know, like I get up there, I act like I'm on stage because I'm not a morning person, so I just act like I'm awake. That's what I tell myself every morning. Just put on a show because I feel like going back to bed. So, and it works pretty much. But I probably am a little bit more...
I have first block planned this semester, so it doesn't really affect me.
Right.
I'm definitely awake by the time second block comes around. Mm-hmm. Well, any other thoughts on the 4-day week?
Email us
if you have one of these alternate schedules or your school district has gone and pushed back the start time for high schoolers and tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Did it work? Did it help? Did it do what I think it does, or is it just the same?
And that article I was reading about the 4-day school week, I'm going to put that on the blog.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know that it's the best research. I just thought it was an interesting idea.
It got us talking.
Yeah. So I'll put that up there on the blog at thetechteachers.blogspot.com.
All righty. Also, feedback, email. And like I said, if you've tried any of this stuff at your school district, let us know. RayandHolly@gmail.com, Holly spelled HOLLYE. And add yourself to our Frapper map. We'll try to hit 100 here soon.
I think we had 98, did we?
I don't know. I haven't checked in a couple of days. It might be over 100 now.
Right.
And hello to all the listeners worldwide. We got a whole bunch of little dots in Europe.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the map in the U.S. closely. We've got quite a few dots in California, but none in San Diego. No one's listening to us out of San Diego. That has put themselves on the Frapper map.
Right.
And we might be in San Diego for something coming up. So
yes.
We'll have to announce that eventually, right?
Right. I think so.
That's it for this edition of The Tech Teachers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Holly. Thank you for listening.
Until next time.